Hello and good evening. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutan.
You're watching Consider This, the show where we want you to consider and then reconsider what you know of the news of the day. Now let's begin the show with the latest on the COVID-19 outbreak. 106 new confirmed cases were reported as of noon today. Now this is the lowest daily increase in 10 days and it comes after a record increase of 212 cases yesterday. So right now the total number of confirmed COVID cases is 1,624. Today, Malaysia registered the 15th COVID-19 death. A 71-year-old man from Melaka with a history of diabetes and high blood pressure. He was suspected to have been in close contact with patient 703. Both men attended the Sri Petaling Tabligh gathering last month. Now, on that note, the Health Director General, Datuk Dr. Nur Hisham Abdullah, has advised the public against stigmatizing or discriminating against those who attended the public gathering. He said that the stigma may prevent them from coming forward for testing and worsen the spread of COVID-19. Sharad, what do you think?
Well, Melissa, yesterday we had a discussion with Fuad Rahmat from Nottingham University, yes, Malaysia, about this, and we got quite a lot of feedback. People saying, well, the facts are there. But what do they mean with the facts there? There was a cluster, as there are actually several clusters, the public cluster being one of the biggest that contributing to the numbers that we have in terms of infections and people dying, but that doesn't necessarily lead to us to either think of the Tabligh movement itself, right, as a problem, to see in them some sort of moral failing, or in fact individual culpability and or collective culpability.
Exactly,
either.
I think that's really quite important to note. I mean, you know, assigning responsibility is not the same as stigmatizing an entire group, and I think that's quite interesting because part of the feedback that we received from that conversation we had with from Nottingham University, Malaysia, was that the statistics don't lie, that of the total tested in the Tabligh cluster, 986 or 11% have been infected, while the rest had tested negative or were awaiting results. So I think about 84% or about that figure have been tested out of the 12,500 people who attended. So most of the people have come back to say, or most netizens have said that, well, you know, the statistics don't lie. I think we have to make a differentiation between assigning responsibility, saying, yes, this is the cluster, but also not stigmatizing that group or those people.
The question is, what is the narrative that you put or wrap around those particular numbers, right, Melissa? One of the things that I think Fuad reminded us was actually the context in which this gathering happened and what we knew of the disease at, right, that point in time. So while there was a general advisory about not having these large gatherings, the idea of social distancing was... I think it's infancy, not just in Malaysia, but around,
exactly,
the world.
Exactly. I mean, we've learned so much in the past week, let alone in the past month when this gathering happened. I mean, you know, think about how much we knew about asymptomatic transmissions, yeah, at that point in time.
Absolutely. You know, one of the things, of course, could be that the people or persons involved in actually being the first person, as it were, at that event that spread the disease, did they, in fact, even know they were sick? I mean, many of us now know that asymptomatic transmission, what basically is that you don't actually have signs, you don't, right, have a flu, you don't have a cough, whatever, you could still be a carrier. Now, you know, and of course that is something we now become so conscious of, but is not necessarily something we understand, that was understood a month ago. Mm. Now, the other thing, of course, Melissa, is that, you know, and I think from a public policy point of view, is that any kind of demonizing of this group through media and so on and so forth will actually inhibit people coming forward.
That's
true. We
already
heard from Lillian Fan yesterday that one of the reasons that some people, foreign participants, is refugees who did report, did so only after assurances that addressed their fears, which was that they would be arrested or they might be apprehended if they came forward. So I think from a public policy point of view, we need to learn a lot more about learning to be generous and learning to be empathetic in this crisis.
Absolutely. Let's move on to other COVID-related news. Defence Minister Ismail Sabri Yaakob, who's also a coordinating senior minister, said the government is anticipating crowding at banks and ATMs once salaries are paid out in the coming days. So he's advised the public not to crowd banks and ATMs, and if necessary, the police and army will be present to ensure social distancing is practiced during the process of withdrawing money.
Melissa, you know, I turned to a friend of mine and asked him why he thought this might actually be the case. Why people would suddenly crowd banks at salary day? Apparently, and I reminded this as a young person, I too live from check to check. And so that day becomes very important in terms of getting the money. Now, also put that in context, when the lockdown was announced, or rather the restriction of movement order was announced, many people might not have had much cash with them. They couldn't go to the supermarket to buy a lot of provisions.
Exactly.
Now, with the salary coming in, they might be thinking, draw down more than the normal amount of cash in order to, in fact, get that shopping done.
Well, in anticipation of this, Bank Negara Malaysia and all the banks have said that they're going to make sure that ATMs nationwide have sufficient cash stock during this restriction of movement order period. Operating hours for ATMs will be limited to between 7 a.m. and 10 p.m. daily. So really no reason for you to crowd at banks or ATMs.
You know, Melissa, there's offers that, I mean, this, the question is whether the response or the behavior of people is going to be kind of, as it were, in line with the kind of panic that people have expressed
that we
in
saw,
buying.
Yes. Yeah, many panic instances. Buying, right?
Yeah. Right, so if people could just pace things out, it'd be so much better. Though, you know, sometimes that is the luxury of us who are more privileged, who are in a much more secure economic position.
Completely
we
understood.
Kind of, you know, we forget that other people are actually hurting at this time.
So perhaps flatten the curve of going to banks and ATMs. All right, we're going to take a quick break. After this, we're going to take a closer look at Malaysia's approach to testing for COVID-19. Who are we testing, our testing capacity, and how to increase it. Stay tuned.